Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much, K Money. Can we give him a hand? There you go. Awesome. Jeez. So, obviously, everyone, so we don't just show up and, like, suddenly stuff starts, you know, like, everything just magically happens. We have service orders and everything. And I don't know about you guys, but I am totally okay with the Holy Spirit messing up everything about the service order today. You guys okay with that? Come on, man. So he's good. So I got a lot of different things that I got to talk about, but and I'm going to be like nixing some of it. But, oh, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. One of the big things that I want to talk about, what I love is there is so much power in unity, guys. And I want to encourage that in a lot of different ways. One, I want for us to be unified here. I don't want for there to be any people or any groups of people that go that become exclusive. So what that means is having like, this is my friend group, and that's cool because you will naturally connect with some people better than others, but then going, oh, but we don't talk to anybody else. We don't hang out with anybody else. And so when you have that, like, man, disunity divides and it breaks things down. I was just listening to a message on the Tower of Babel, about how it does that. And, if you haven't read it, go read it. It's Genesis 10, I think it is. But, huge unity is what allows for things to actually happen and move forward. And one of the coolest ways I've ever seen unity, it's a big part of my heart. I love seeing unity happen. And one of the coolest ways I've seen unity is actually going to happen again on November 12th. If we can go ahead and get this sign up, we got one coming up, baby! Come on! Look at this. Keep that loop. Yeah. Keep that loop going. Just keep the loop going. This is sweet. Are you guys pumped about this? So, we got, anytime that you start something and like God does something really cool, other people are like, ooh, man, I want to join in. And so there's other churches that are now starting to come and that are interested. And, so this one's going to be, this is going to be huge. It's going to be really big because we got not only stuff going on this time, but it's also got some big announcements for the next one that we have as well. So November 12th, everybody say November 12th. There you go. All right. We got in your packets, if you see on the backs of the seats, you will see handouts in the big pocket. Go ahead and grab out in the big pocket. And what this is... what this is, you'll see, go ahead and pass them around. If you want to go, you need to get one of these to us, okay? Because we got a bus that we're going to be bringing with us. Is that cool? That cool? If you want to go with us, obviously you can find your own ride and get yourself there. But if you want to go with us, if you want a free ride, please come meet us here. But this is going to be awesome. This is going to be so, so, so fun. So, real quick, I need to keep moving on. You guys excited about one? Come on. That's what's up. There you go. All right. If we can get the music down a little bit, I want to hit on a couple different things. First of all, I'm just going to go ahead and, like, I got to skip this portion of what I was talking about. All right. So what are we talking about today? All right. What are the three E's? Dang it. Yeah, without cheating. But, yes, the three E's. I want you guys to memorize this stuff. I want you guys to live by this. This is going to be something that's not just this series. This is something that's going to be all over everything we do, everything we are. So it's going to be really easy to memorize this stuff because you're going to hear it all the time. You're going to hear to encounter the presence of God in every moment, and you're going to hear to be equipped by God, developing habits of long-lasting growth. And today we're going to be talking about to take every opportunity to engage your world with the powerful love of God. You guys excited about this? Man, I love it. I'm really excited about this. So, What's cool about this is that, have you guys ever, anybody work out? Yeah. Anybody in football in particular? Football, there you go. Come on. So fall camp, you guys know fall camp, and then you go to football and fall camp. Towards the end of fall camp, it's like it's the worst part of the season, like the third week of fall, because what you're doing is you've been practicing, you've been weightlifting, you've been doing all this conditioning, and you're going, man, I'm just ready for a game, right? Right? And you're like, I'm just ready for a game. I'm just ready to use everything that I, who here is like, tons of practices, and you practice and practice, and you're like, I'm just ready to compete, whether it's swimming. Come on, where's the CB crew? Where's the Council Bluffs crew, the swim crew? There you go. That's what's up. I'm just ready to, like, I'm sick of just swimming laps against the same people every day, right? And it's like, I'm ready to, like, go compete. I'm ready to go do something. And how crazy would it be if someone walks up to their coach, and they go, hey, coach, I'm ready to try out. So for me, it was wrestling, and wrestling was my sport. Any wrestlers in the house? Come on. What's up? There you go. These are the tough guys in the house. So the wrestlers, first day of wrestling conditioning, everybody throws up. Everybody throws up. It's nuts. And then half the people you never see again. And it's like, did they die, or did they just like, oh, I don't want to do this wrestling thing? You're never quite sure. And so in wrestling, how crazy would it be if I was like, hey, coach, I really want to come and do wrestling, but I don't actually ever want to compete. I don't actually ever want to, like, go out on the mat and, like, wrestle anybody. Like, I don't ever want to do that. I just want to die in practice. That's what I would prefer to do all season. That's what I'd really like. That's crazy, right? That's nuts. Yet so many times, listen to me, this is so many times we do this with our spiritual walk, because this is what it's like to live, encounter, and equip without engage. And yet we do. In fact, as Emanate, I think what we are really good at as a group, as a whole, is the first two steps we're all right at. And we really need to get better and engage. It's a lot like the person that goes, hey, I just want to practice and I never want to use what I'm practicing for. I just want to, so I just want to get poured into, God. I want you to pour into me. And now I want to be equipped. I want to grow stronger. I want to get better. I want to do all these things and then engage, like, oh man, no, that's scary. I'll just stay here where I can encounter and be equipped, and I'm growing, and I feel so spiritual and good about myself, but I don't ever actually want to step out of my comfort zone and take a risk, because that's scary, that's hard. And that's how we live our lives a lot like. But our goal is not to just encounter and be equipped, but our goal is to look like Jesus. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 9, 36 through 38, if we can pull that up real quick. He says, when he, Jesus, saw the crowd, so this is right around like feeding of the 5,000 time, he said, so tons of people there, thousands of people there. And he said, he saw the crowds, had compassion on them. They're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And so, if we can just picture this for a second. Jesus is standing up on a hill. He's looking out amongst all these people. And I just see him. And it says, he had compassion on them. So I see Jesus just like looking at them, and his eyes well up with tears, and he turns to his disciples and he says, disciples, do you see these people out there? Do you see the incredible hurt? There's so many of them. And there's only 12 of you, and I'm going to be gone in just a little bit. Please, there's not enough. That's going to happen. We need the harvest. There's so many people. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray that more people go out, because look at all this need. He commands it over and over and over. In the Great Commission says, all authority, this is what Jesus says, some of his last words, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. It's crazy. This is what he's talking about, is this same command. And we see it as well in our key verse that we hit on all the time. In fact, if you guys are going to get into memorizing verses, this would be a great one to start with Acts 1:8. It says, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. You will be my witness. That's a command. That's not something that he's saying like, hey, it'd be really good if you did this. He says, this is what you're going to do, okay? Because I'm leaving. He is ascending right there. And he's going, listen to me. This is what you will do. You have encountered me. I have equipped you. And now you must engage. Now is your time to pull the trigger and to start getting active with what you've been given. So I'll tell you what. This is what engage is all about. In fact, man, as I think about this, as I think about engaging, and I think about trying to live life and just encounter and equip and without the process of engaging, man, risk is scary. But I'll tell you this real quick. I'll just tell you, you can't live life without risk. If you live life without risk, you're not living at all. So you have to risk. You have to risk. But there is nothing that I find more selfish in someone's life than for them to discover the light, the life, and the hope of eternity, and to keep it for themselves. I had a dream when I was about 11, and maybe I was. Yeah, I was right around that age. And what it was, I was sleeping and I'm in my dream, I'm walking with my friends down this road, and we are in all I got is Christian friends. And I don't really talk to people that aren't Christian at the time. And so I'm walking, and pretty soon we see this light, and everybody knows it's Jesus, and he's coming down, and he touches the horizon. And as he goes back up, suddenly everybody starts going with him. And it's the rapture. He's calling us up, and all my friends go running towards him. And I just weep, and I scream, and I go, no! I got Adam, I got Josh, I got all my friends that don't know you. What have I done with all my time? And I'm sweating, and I'm wrestling, and I'm pulling my sheets up, and I wake up just panting and weeping and crying, and it was so real to me. And this was the first prophetic vision that I've ever had that spoke. It was more than just a dream. It was this thing that spoke to my soul. And this was something where I was like, I can't keep living with me and my circle of friends and just stopping there. I can't keep doing it. There's nothing more selfish. You see, guys, our friends, our classmates, our family, the people around us are walking by us through the gates of hell. And we have the key to eternal life. I think we have a responsibility to do something with that. Guys, this has been one of the weightiest sermons I've ever prepared. And I keep trying to just focus on, no, what are you going to say? And I realize our hearts don't break for those who are going to be spending eternity in hell. Our hearts don't break for the lost. And we need to take some time right now just to get our hearts in the right place, because we can't go anywhere. We can't engage if we don't see the urgency, if we don't see the need. We can't do any of this. And we just need to pray. God, I pray you give us your heart for the lost. Jesus, what did you see? What did you feel on that mountainside when you saw the crowds, God? God, I pray for broken hearts in this room. Hearts that break for those that don't know you. For the greatest travesty that people would live and die without knowing about the hope of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that is what breaks our hearts. God, give us your heart. Guys, if you can't live for yourself, that's not your goal in life. That's what the world communicates to you. You live for God, and you live to help the world to discover God and to worship God. And so I just want to talk a little bit about some practical things about engage. But man, I feel like this is why the Holy Spirit was so heavy in worship today. Because the topic of engage seems so practical. It's action, it's doing, it's serving, it's evangelism, it's these things. But what we don't realize is the level of spiritual warfare that we engage in when we actually do these things. We think, oh man, it's nothing. It's something small here. And so I want to talk about what engaging is. If we can pull up the definition real quick. The definition of engage, and this is just my definition, but it's to engage is anytime you give a Christ-like encounter to another person. Anytime you give a Christ-like, and so this could be anything. This could be so many different things. And what's crazy about engage is that engage isn't something, it's not like encounter. Encounter is all the time. You always have access to encounter. You always have access to encounter. But engage, so this is why in the mission statement, to encounter the presence of God in every moment. Every moment is an opportunity to encounter God. And then we say, to take every opportunity to engage your world with the powerful love of God. Every opportunity. What it is encounters, you have every moment. With engage, you have opportunities. You have opportunities. Not every time do you have an opportunity to engage someone with the love of God. And this is what it's about. It's about seeing and going into those opportunities and taking advantage of those opportunities. It's kind of like when you're driving and I've never seen this actually happen, but you see those on on TV shows or whatever, where they have the driver's test and the things just pop up from the ground, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And like all these, and they don't actually do that in driver's tests, do they? No. Okay, I didn't think so. It didn't happen for me, but I took my driver's test from like this podunk town, so I was like, they certainly wouldn't have that. But and it's kind of like that. It's like something arises, and instead of avoiding it like we often do, something suddenly an opportunity to engage comes up, and we got to veer towards that. We got to go towards that, and we got to seek these opportunities and discover what they look like. Opportunities can look like so many different things. Opportunities happen all the time. In fact, Selena, where are you at? Selena had an opportunity just yesterday or the day before. Come on up, Selena, and just I want to see what it looks like, what her opportunity, her engage opportunity looks like.
Hi guys. So on Tuesday, I went to my class at UNO that I have for my scholarship program. We have like a learning community class where we talk with other students about study habits and like being a good student and our lives and things like that. So our mentor slash leader was trying to get us to list a bunch of things that we do to cope with anxiety or stress. And so we broke into small groups, and a bunch of the girls in my group were like, oh my gosh, I cry all the time. And I just like have mental breakdowns, and then I'm good until like a day later. And then I just cry some more, and then I'm good. And like everybody was just saying all these different things, like music and like just different things that help them cope with anxiety. So the first thing that came to my mind, obviously, was prayer, because that's always my first resort. And I could have, like, chosen to say, like, crying or something, because I do that, or I have done that, but it's not very productive. So I just was like, when they asked me, I was like, well, I like to pray and journal. And they're like, oh, okay. And then when we got into the large group and the leader was, like, writing our ideas on the board, this one guy's like, I like to listen to trap music to calm myself down. And then I was like, oh, I like to do basically the opposite. I like to listen to worship music and journal and pray. And then this one girl who I, like, by the way, have felt like I need to befriend, and, like, God's just really put her on my heart. And, like, I've hung out with her a couple times. She was like, oh, Selena, I could just see you sitting in your room, like, praying to Jesus and listening to gospel music. And I was like, that's actually exactly what I do. And she's like, oh, okay. And then, like, something really cool happened. I didn't even initiate this, but the mentor was like, okay, who prays before a test? And, like, everyone's hands shot up. And then we're all, like, talking about that. And then this one guy was like, oh, I totally prayed for my scholarship. And I was like, I prayed for my scholarship, too. And then I was like, me, too. And, like, all these kids who I know, like, don't have access to God or just have never really encountered him before, like, recognized his power in their lives and, like, they don't know him, or maybe they won't admit that they, like, recognize that he's real, but they still try to talk to him when they need him. And I just think that's so cool. And, like, just me sharing a little bit of my life and, like, how I live it, like, overflowed and just engaged people in a conversation about God. And I know that that's going to set the foundation, like, for more conversations in the future, even though this one just touched the surface. And I know that people now know, like, what I'm about. And they're going to be watching to see, like, if I can really prove that and, like, through my behavior. So that was just really cool.
I love it. I love it. What I think is so cool, this opportunity arose, and what happened, just the natural overflow of her encountering and being equipped just came out. Isn't that so cool? It just came out. It just overflowed out of her. And this is what we're talking about. And in fact, there are four proximities of engagement. I want you to engage. So do you know what proximity means? It means like how close you are to something. And really where this comes from is all of this comes from Acts 1:8. If we can pull Acts 1:8 up one more time. And what it says is you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the part in the end, we kind of like skim over and like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Yeah. All right. I don't know what those are. I know what the ends of the earth means, because they actually very well may have had a flat earth point of view at this point. That's just a random fact. So can we pull up the map? Can we pull up the map real quick? So this is the world that they're living in. And this is not that one. Is there a different one? Let me see. I got it right here. I'm able to pull it up here. No. That's old. That's where we went on our mission trip. Isn't that cool? So here we go. So this is the map. You guys can see it. We'll get the other one pulled up in just a second. But right here, we have, this is the nation of Judea. So right here in the middle, if you see where my finger is, that's Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. And so this is where Jesus is talking to them. He's saying, hey, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in your city, in the places that are close to you. And this is that first proximity. And this is what this is friends. It's going, be my witnesses amongst your family, your friends, the people that are closest to you. And what I love about this, this is a lot like, is Mary here? Was Mary able to make it, or is she too sick? All right, Brennan, you here? Brennan here? There you go. Come on up, Brennan. And what's so cool is she's got a really cool story about how impacting and engaging this first close proximity of just engaging your friends. So if you can tell a little bit about Mary's story as well.
Okay. So I started coming to M&A or Gravity at the time, sophomore year. And I'd never been to church before. So, but my friend Mary, she invited me, and I was very like, yeah, I'll do it, because she told me about how, like, cool the people were, and, like, I was like, okay, sounds fun. The first night I went, it was really overwhelming, and I thought everyone was crazy. It's fine. But I came after that every week, because the thing that, like, I left with at that night was everyone was so, like, warm and loving and then just so passionate, and I really wanted that, and I, like, that's what, at first, the only reason I was coming. Like, I didn't really know about God. I was like, I don't know about this. But that's the only reason I was coming. So I just really encourage you guys to just invite one time, because you have no idea, like, where it's going to go from there. Just, like, that one time. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. And what's crazy is that Mary had been coming to Gravity at that time for how long? How long has she been coming? Like a couple weeks, right? Yeah. And what's crazy is Megan, Morse, Levi, DeVries, and someone else had all invited Mary here. And so Mary's like, all right, I'll come for this little event or whatever you think you got. And just like, hey, we're friends. We're just talking. I just want to invite you to this. And all these people start inviting her. So she's like, all right, I'll come. Wow, this is really cool. All right. So now I'm going to go to my friend and I'm going to be like, Brennan, come on, come with me. This is so cool. You got to come check this out. And what I love that this is the one of the best ways to engage your world. When we think about engaging your world, we think about proximity, some of the further proximities of talking to strangers and things like that. But we'll get there. So that's proximity number one. The second one is with your acquaintances. Acquaintances. So not necessarily people that you know really well, but this is for people that you may be friends with, or maybe on your team, or maybe in your class, and maybe not like someone who you're like, hey man, we hang out all the time, but people that are acquaintances. And what's cool about this, so this is school, this is church, this is work, this is all that stuff. And Sarah has a really cool story. Just real quick, if you can share about how you've impacted and how you've engaged your world.
Hey, so basically, if you know me, I moved here from Colorado about 3 years ago, and I moved here and I had no friends, and so I thought maybe a good way to connect with people would be to invite them to church, and why not spread God's love with other people? So I invited one girl, and she came, and she loved it, and then it's my swim team, so we go back, and she's like, oh yeah, it's awesome, and then we keep telling all these other people, and they just kept coming, and they invite their friends, and so yeah, that's basically how the Council Bluffs crew appeared.
So I love it. Hold on, stay up here real quick. I love what has been going on with what I call the Gan Van, right? Where you get this crew, and it started with, holy smokes, Sarah and her mom are bringing, and her brother are bringing all these people. And now we're like, well, now we need a van, and now we need, have had up to 17 people come just on a given week, and over 60 different people have come to Emanate because of just this intentionality of like, hey, you should come to my church, and it's that easy. Can we give a huge hand to Sarah, David, and the whole GAN crew, the whole Council Bluffs crew? You rock. Thank you so much. So these are acquaintances. You don't have to know people really, really well, but these are the people that make up your world. These are the people that make up your world. And because you have a unique circle around you that no one else does. Isn't that crazy? And then the next one, is your neighbors. And I got a cool story about this, but I'm going to have to summarize it up super quick. We had some Muslim neighbors that my mom just was like, you know, I want to talk to them about Jesus, but never, ever talk to a Muslim. What the rule she's heard, never talk to a Muslim like the first time you're like, hello, Jesus, you know, and like you just invade them with this, like they're like, oh, well, weird, not talking to you again. Anyway, so she's like, hey, would you want to go out to eat? Built a little relationship. And then before they could get to the first stop sign at the end of the street, the woman, what was her name? Oh, man. Ghazala. Ghazala was like, she literally said, I want to know what you're talking about with this Jesus thing. And Jesus is this, and Jesus that, and Jesus, and literally had said the name Jesus four times before she could ever. And it's so cool, this encounter. What this is, it's your neighbors. These are people that aren't necessarily a direct, I know them personally, but it's people that may be a second degree connection with. And so I don't know Josiah's neighbor, but I know Josiah, and so therefore that's that connection. Does that make sense? That's the second degree connection. I may not know your best friend, but because through you, I can get to know them. So those are your neighbors, just the people around you. You may not even be someone that you know. And then the last one is strangers. And if we can get, I think we should have a slide for this of the four levels, engage the four levels of proximity. And the last one is strangers. I want you guys to jot this down. What's so cool about this is that when I was, I was in early high school, and my dad started this weird trend, and it was really embarrassing. Anybody, your parents have embarrassing things that they do all the time. And so my dad was like, hey, I want to take, we as a family are going to go out to Whiskey Creek. It's like Texas, Longhorn Steakhouse, not Texas Longhorns, Longhorn Steakhouse. And it's like, yes, okay, yeah, food, meat, steak, yeah. You know, and I was like, yeah. Oh, wait, maybe not, because you do that weird thing. You do that weird thing, and that's weird. And what he'd do everywhere we go, that we go to a restaurant, he'd go, yeah, so this is what we're going to order. Awesome, thank you so much. Oh, and wait. Before you leave, we pray over our food. And so we are, and we're going to be praying for you as well. So how can we be praying for you? And it happened again. And I'm like, Dad, don't. And then the waitress goes, please don't. And she left. And I'm like, see, Dad? Like, that's weird, Dad. Don't do that. And so we go to eat, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so, none of my friends are here, are they? And then a couple minutes later, this other girl walks out from the kitchen, and she says, so back there, and this girl's name was Kayla. I don't remember our waitress's name. We'll call her Jamie. She says, Jamie said to me that you guys were asking for that, if you could pray for her. And she said that was really weird, but I actually need prayer. And she said, my dad just had a heart attack. And I'm so scared. He's in the hospital and we don't know if he's going to make it. He's really, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And she's young. She's probably 21, somewhere around there. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And she's crying at her table. And we're like, all right, we're just going to do this. We're going to pray. And her dad's name was Frank. And so we're like, all right, God, right now we just pray for Frank and we call down your presence on him wherever he is at this hospital. And we're going to call down your presence to heal him right now. And what's crazy, we had a friend that actually worked there and we were able to follow up with her, and her dad was healed that very day. Just like ready. They're like, this isn't looking good. I know. Come on. Right. And it went from, like, your dad's got, like, a day to live to her dad is still alive. And I believe that Frank is alive today because of our prayers. And Frank, I believe that Frank is alive because my dad saw it fit to engage his community, his world, whoever he was around, with every opportunity he had, even if it's a stranger. That's what's so cool. There's been so many different times that I've seen weird, awkward situations. I could tell you about my friend Todd, Rob. What's his name? Yes, Rob. Todd, Rob. So you take the D, you flip it around. Ode, and that's how my brain got there. So Rob Smith, and just so cool. He goes to church here now, but he has been just got a crazy story. And we met him while we were buying our car and just taking an opportunity to be like, hey, we want to be good stewards of our and leaving little clues. And so this is what's so cool is you have these four different levels of proximity. And the majority of your engaging will happen in the first two levels. With the people that you're constantly surrounded with, we can get the band to come up. And so I want to tell you guys, we have a couple different things that we're going to be doing to engage our community. And I got a challenge for you guys. I got a couple challenges for you guys. And the first one is this Saturday. It's happening at iHeart. Because one chance to engage, come on, one chance to engage is by serving your community. And you will have an opportunity to serve those that you don't know. To serve, this is the furthest level of proximity, and you don't have anything to worry about because chances are you probably won't see most of these people again. And so you can be as weird or whatever as you want, which is awesome. And so serve. As you serve and you love your world, that is engaging. I challenge you guys to go to that. Also, we're going to start a new trend, and these are engage nights. What an engage night is a night where the purpose is not just to come as our group of people, but to come and invite a bunch of people with us and party. Is that cool? Okay, so our first engage night is actually happening on November 1st. Can we get this slide up? And it's called Cloak. It's called Cloak. This is going to be, so Cloak, cover, hide, disguise. This is our costume party. You guys ready for like Halloween, Harvest Festival styles? Come on. This is going to be so cool. I am pumped. And what we're going to have, we're going to have an opportunity where next week you guys are going to get invitations to hand out to your friends and to have an engage night, our first engage night. And I think it's going to be big. Do you guys think so? Come on. Come on. I'm so excited. You'll be getting lots more information about that. But and then the last one is we can get the leaders to go ahead and spread the last one over the altar here. This is the last challenge I have for you guys. And it's unknown. It's unknown. What we have in here, we have a bunch of different engage challenges. 5 to be exact. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Each number represents a different challenge. And you have no clue what's in here. You have no clue what the challenge is that's in here. And what I want you to do is I am going to start engaging my world. Then you make the commitment right here, right now. I don't know what's in here, but I'm going to do it. I don't know what's in here, but I am going to follow through. I'm going to do whatever. And it may be as easy as you're going to pray for someone. You're going to give someone an encouraging word. Or it could be a little bit more complex than that. But what you got to do is you got to go, I'm willing, no matter what this says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And that's your challenge. That is your challenge, to come up and grab one of these. And our leaders are going to be doing the same thing. Our leaders are going to be doing the same thing. In fact, I'll just keep this one. This is going to be mine. But this is your challenge. Are you going to take this commitment to engage? And then if we got sign-ups here. So what you're going to do, this is your written commitment. And so what you're going to do is you come on up. All the leaders have it. So what you do, you walk up here, you take one, and you walk over to a leader. Can our leaders stand up? Can our leaders stand up and maybe spread around, back, front, side, the room? And you walk up to one of your leaders, your small group leader, and you go, hey, Keegan, all right, jot down my name. My name's Drew Milliken, and I took challenge number 2. That's what I'm doing, okay? Jot that down. And I don't know what that is, but then your small group leader can go, hey, how's it going? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? I want to keep you accountable in helping you pour some gas on that fire for you. So, all right now. So what I'm going to just have, I'm going to pray. And the second I say amen, I want everybody that goes, I'm going to engage my world to come on up and grab at least one of these. Okay? God, we are here for you. We are here for you. God, the world, our life is not solely about us. So God, I pray right now that you break our hearts for the lost. I pray right now that you give us your heart for the lost, and that we would stop living in our own little bubble, and we would start living for you, God, and start looking more like you and engaging the world around us, God. Whatever challenge each person picks up here, I pray that it is supernaturally anointed specifically for them. Supernaturally anointed specifically for them. And God, I pray that you give the strength, the power, and the boldness for each person that comes up and takes this challenge to follow through on it, God. We are calling your commitment. Remember, you're coming up the second I say amen. So God, we love you. We love you. We are yours. We are yours. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Come on up. Come on up. You're taking a challenge. Grab one. Find your small group leader. Get the number jot down. You're taking your challenge right now. My small group, find Tommy. Don't open them yet. Don't open them yet. We're going to open them all together. I didn't say that, so if you did, you didn't break a rule. My bad. Right now, we're just going to worship. We're just going to pray into this right now, okay? If you're waiting in line to get yours filled out, go ahead and keep waiting in line. But we're just going to get in an attitude, a heart of worship. We ready? We all signed up? We ready to go? All right. On the count of three, we can go ahead and open up our challenges and figure out this is what God's going to do. But I'm going to pray. God, right now, this is yours. We are yours. Whatever it is, we commit, we promise to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One, two, three. Open it up. Pull it out. You got it. As you read this, right now, this is where the spiritual battle starts. This is where the spiritual battle starts, because what's going on in your head is you're going, okay, I could do it like this. I could do it like this. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, don't skimp out on your challenge. Don't skimp out on your challenge. Yeah? Whatever it says, you go, I'm going to go full throttle. For example, mine says, talk to one person about your relationship with Jesus this week. And so for me, what that means is that, man, I got a lot of Christian people that I work with and I hang out with. I can just talk to them, right? No. I got to find something that's going to challenge me, that's going to push me, that's going to make it hard. That's what a challenge is. So find what your challenge is. Find what God's specifically calling you to do with this, because I believe it's specifically for you and it's specifically for the people that you're going to encounter. We're going to call a prayer over this, one last one. And what this is a commissioning prayer, okay? So the great commission, that means you send people out, okay? That's what this is about. God, I thank you. I call your Holy Spirit power, your Holy Spirit boldness over each person in here, that we engage our worlds with the powerful love of God. We love you. We love you. We love you. We commit to this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on. We way over. So you guys are excused. If you need to go, if you want to hang out, finish this song out with the band, let's finish this song out. We can keep doing that.